The harder things in God are also some of the better things we can be about in our life. Right? It's easy to serve God halfway. It's easy to serve God a quarter of the way. But if you really want to serve God and do something for God, then what you need to do is you need to serve God all the way. But it's not easy to serve God all the way because we live in a world full of sin and heathen. And I was a good heathen, and I can talk about it if I want, because I got background. I got master's and doctorate degrees in heathenism. Self-taught, of course, but, you know, I had my father to teach me. I had my brothers to teach me. I had my neighborhood to teach me. And we all practiced diligently. Much more so than most Christians practice being a Christian. Right? I mean, we were good at what we did. And whatever was the most wicked, we excelled in those things and were proud of it. Amen? It's like kids today that don't give it up until they get married. They can't talk about, well, I ain't going to do that anymore. What? Man, they should sit there and go, hey, I ain't doing it until I get married. Do you understand? I mean, you got to make a stand and be bold for the things of God, just like you were bold for the devil in his day. It's absolutely mandatory. Okay, I want to go to Luke chapter 6. These are hard things, but they're true. Luke chapter 6, and I'm going to start in verse 27. I hate every one of these, but I know they're right. You don't got to like the Word of God. You got to love God, and because you love Him, you listen and act on the Word of God. Now, I love the Word, but I don't like all parts of it, and I'm going to read you some things today that are kind of hard on me. And if they're hard on me, I believe they're kind of hard on you. Luke chapter 6, starting in verse 27. God, I just ask today, Holy Spirit, Jesus, you be in this place. Lord, that you not just be in this place, but you place yourself in everybody here and break down the barriers that they might hear your truth, God. That it be today, God, that we learn to be bold for you as bold as we were for anything else in our lives. And that, God, of all the getting we get closer to you daily so we might do more and more and more in accordance with your will. In Jesus' name, I pray. And everyone said,
amen.
Always in the Bible, Jesus is saying things like, and those who have ears to hear, let them hear. Why does he say that? Because until you love God, you are listening. And depending on how much you love God will determine even then how much you do listen. Amen? All right. It says in verse 27, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Those of you that love God, this is instruction to you. God is saying, love your enemies. Boy, he was picking on me when I got saved. I mean, you know, I lived a rough and tumble life, and love your enemies. You got to be kidding me. How many people remember when they got saved how rude this thing was in their life? Rude! What do you mean, love my enemies? I'll love them close and tight and right. You know what I mean? I mean, that's the life I live. And I remember God gave me an unquenchable desire for the Word of God. And I remember reading through this part right here going, oh, no, God. It says somewhere else in your Word that receive as much as you can. And I cannot. So I would read the Word and then I'd read other parts and make it work for me, if you know what I mean. When you're young in the Lord, you do a lot of that. Well, I like this, but, oh, that was for then, but this is now. Oh, no. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and He's the only thing that never changes in our lives. And He says, love your enemies. Well, what does that mean? Yeah, you know what it means. It says, bless those who curse you and pray for those who spitefully use you. If you got pride issues in your life, God is right now working on tearing them down through His Word. Right? What does it mean? Bless those who curse you. How many people have ever been cursed out? To this day, it happens sometimes. Those people that I'm trying to help will give me an earful. Up to there. Ooh, that's pretty good. You can't pronounce some words correctly. You know what I mean? I mean, when you get to them one syllable emotional kind of, it's right there. I can't say it. But you know what I'm talking about. And what are you supposed to do? Well, God bless you anyway. May the Lord bless your life. May the Lord touch you deeply before I do. No. Everything but the last part, of course. Oh, you even know what I'm talking about. It says that you are to bless those who spitefully use you. How many people have been used and abused? Oh, I'm not the only one. Well, praise the Lord. There have been many people that I've done many things for that turn around and spank me on the way out the door. Right? So what do? God bless you. May the Lord bless you in all your life. You know, some people say, well, may the Lord bless you in accordance with your deeds, but that's not really a blessing. Amen? How many people have heard that kind of thing said before? That's not the Lord. That's not what He means. He means, Lord, bless them. God, whatever it takes, help that person to find you and get right. That's speaking blessings into their life. Amen? Because if somebody is operating in that area of life where they are hateful and full of discontent and all the rest of that, they are a hurting person. Amen? And they need the love of Jesus, and they need you to show them the love of Jesus. Alright? Now, we send out witnessing teams. And not very often, but sometimes, people will go through extreme situations. Right? Extreme. Why? These people don't want to hear it. Or whatever you want to say. And they will speak things that, are those one syllable love words in reverse things. Amen? And what you have to do, you see, is you have to just sit there and do that thing called turn the other cheek. What does that mean? You just got to ignore it and move on. Because you're supposed to have the mind of Christ, and you're not supposed to answer the devil by the devil's work. You're supposed to overwhelm darkness with the love of Christ. Alright? It says, to him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. This is one of those that when I first read it, I went, oh no. Oh no. Well, Jesus could do this because He was the Son of God. But I am not Jesus. How many people have fought those kind of things before? Amen? I mean, let's face it. Somebody comes up and spanks you across your face. You're probably not feeling very good about that person at that moment. And I ask God because I used to have rage in my life. And rage is, it isn't uncontrollable, but I thought it was at the time I got saved, right? I sat on my face and I begged God not to have those incidents happen in my life because I was in fear of what would happen afterwards. You understand? But I understand the principle is that sometimes people will lash out and people have struck me in error. And when I say that, I say it very loosely because I deal with people that are going through real misery and sometimes they lash out. Right? But in the end, I overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. And if I sock somebody up, I just lost half my power. See, you're to protect your testimony like silver and gold and diamonds. It is the most important thing that you can possess in your life besides Jesus is the fact of your changed life. And you're not to let the devil rob you of it in any way. Amen? So, now this other part where it says, to him who strikes you on the one cheek, off the other also. I've never had to go there yet. I don't see myself going, oh yeah, that was good. Oh yeah, that was good. Thank you. I don't see that happening in my life. I think after the first time, although I ain't going to thump him, I'm going to certainly put him in a power lock, sit on him, and wait for somebody to come and get him out of my face. And I'll cast the demons out at a later time when I'm not quite so irate. I'm trying to utilize some wisdom here. Amen. I'm going to tell you right now that if somebody hits me, I'm not going to just put my hand on his head and start casting out demons. That's not the first thing I'm thinking about. I mean, putting my boots close to his head might be part of it. But I don't think that's going to help the spiritual thing. Are you hearing me? I don't think I have to take abuse. You know what I mean? I don't think that's really what the Lord is telling you. I think what he's telling you that in all things that you're to protect your testimony and you're to take and make sure that you don't lash back. But you know what? I don't believe for a minute there's a lot of wimpy Christians. Let me talk to you for a minute. Can I be honest with you? There's a lot of people that were wimps before they became Christians. And when they get to be Christians, now they use scripture to justify being a wimp. You know what? My God is the one that tossed people out of the temple with a lash. My God is the one that destroyed nations. My God is the one that became very bold. So let's be very careful when we're looking at scripture that we take it in context. I do not believe you're to do bodily harm to people, but I also, you know, I mean, if they got you all locked up and they're going to lop your head off, I don't see as you got a lot of choice. You know what I mean? But as far as allowing yourself to be physically abused continuously, I really don't think that's God's choice. Do you understand what I'm saying? I think that in the end, you know, I think that because of governments and stuff, some things can happen to us as we serve God. And there's nothing we can do about those things, right? But I'm going to tell you right now, I don't believe we're supposed to let demons knock the hay out of us. I don't think we're supposed to let demon-possessed people come over and spank us. You know what I mean? I think we're supposed to protect ourselves and then lay hands on them later and cast that demon out. I believe we're supposed to carry ourselves with honor in all things for the Lord, right? But I don't think that, you know, that we're supposed to be wimps for Christ. I think we're supposed to be warriors for Christ. And but the, you know, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God for pulling down strongholds. And we're always supposed to remember that in our life. Amen. So we're not to answer physical force with physical force, but we're to answer force with force. I hope I'm making that clear. But these things were very hard on me, but they're true. And it was good that God pointed it out to me because all my life, I was raised different where, you know, my dad had six boys. So I remember when he came home and some kid had cussed him out on the block, he'd come home, right? And that happened, and it happened even back then. Whatever, my dad was not that nice guy. He'd come home and there was six boys, you know, like this. And he'd sit there and he'd look and he'd go, come with me. And he'd take us over there to that street corner and he'd say, you go whoop that boy. That boy just abused your daddy. You go over there and you whoop him. Are you hearing me? Now that's not right. You understand? I'm just telling you, but I was raised wrong. All right. So this was very hard on me when I first came to know the Lord. Right? What do you mean I'm just supposed to let? But you see, what I think God is telling you is that you are not to answer force with force. Not that kind of force. But he's not telling you to be abused. You understand? I really believe that in all my heart. And I know that God went meekly to the cross, but you see, that was his destiny. That's what he was supposed to do. He took those lashes so that we could be healed. Right? He knew what he was supposed to be about. But I'm sitting here telling you today that I do believe in turning the other cheek. I do believe in those things. But I do not believe that we are to be continually abused and just put up with it. I don't believe that. Amen? That's not our destiny in life. We are to change the world. We're not supposed to have the world just thumping us and putting us down. Amen? Okay. So it says, to him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. What that means is if somebody comes up and takes your coat, say, hey, you want my shirt too? One day I came home and I couldn't find my shoes. Well, when you only have two shoes, you notice them right away. You know, it's not like they're lost in the masses or anything. So I came home and I looked around and I'm sitting there going, man, where's my shoes? Because I'm trying to get ready to go to church, right? So I couldn't find them. And I'll look for them later. And here comes this guy walking right up to me, man. And he's smiling at me. You know what I mean? And I look down. And I look up, and he's smiling. He's got my shoes. And I was learning about these scriptures. Things are never more important than people. Do you understand? And I was sitting there, and I looked at him, and I go, oh, I can't talk to you right now. Because I couldn't talk to him right now. And I had to go outside and pray a lot and ask God, how come, God, how come this guy got my shoes and he brought this scripture to my mind? And those people that take your coat, say, here's my shirt too. And what God was showing me is you've got to lose the importance of things in your life in order to minister to people. You had two pair of shoes. It doesn't matter how many he had. Don't you still have a pair of shoes? Right? Let that man have your shoes if that makes him feel better about going to church that night. I pray that each of you in this room go through that at some time. I pray, God, oh God, don't just take on me, take on them all. Amen? Because this was a big lesson in my life. And I had to really sit there and wrestle and struggle with it until I came to the conclusion, which is the truth. God is much more concerned about people and souls than he is about things. And what is a pair of shoes in comparison to a person maybe getting saved? And God, you know, in the next month or so, he brought me another pair of shoes. Right? And you know, I really appreciated him a lot more than last pair. Because I waited for him, prayed a lot, and I got him. Are you hearing me? So if somebody steals from you, just let it go. Amen? Okay, you got it. You can have it. It's just clothes. Now get right. You understand? You happy now? You got over on me? You think you're somebody now? Hey, that's cool. But now get right. You understand what I mean? And that's where I'm at. I've had shirts, pants, underwear, socks, you name it. Shoes, coats stolen from me. That's the truth. Tools, everything including Joy riding around in my truck. You understand? People are the most important thing on earth. And I really think that's the point God is making in these verses is, hey, if you put things above people, then you don't know much about God. Right? People are the most important thing. So it says here, now this is funny. Well, kind of in a sad way to me. Give to everyone who asks of you. And from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. That's why I didn't ask for those things back. Because I knew the scripture said, if they take it from you, let them have it. Right? Won't God deal with them at some time? And won't He deal with them in a way that'll bring correction to their life much better than anything we can do? Right? Okay. So it says, and just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. What's that mean? You want respect? Give respect. Amen? If you want people to like you, like them. If you want friends, be friendly. A lot of people go, oh, darn it, I don't got no friends. Well, look at that sour puss on you. Who would ever want to be seen with you anyway? Why don't you learn to smile and have a good time and appreciate the things of God? And why don't you quit sniveling and complaining all the time? Who wants to be around a stinking whiner? Amen? You know, a lot of people sit there and go, well, I don't got no friends. I go, don't you get it? It's not everybody else. It's you. You understand? This Bible is so true. It is lessons for life. You understand? You read it, and when you think about it and pray about it, God in His revelation will tell you the rest of the story. So, it says, but if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? It says, for even sinners love those who love them. How many people love their kids? Of course you do. Right? But that's normal, and everybody does that. But He's saying, if you got My love in you, then you're supposed to love everybody around you just like I love you. He says, there's no glory. And you know, a lot of people are funny. They love their kids sometimes. Oh, did I say that? As long as they're getting good grades in school, and as long as they're not embarrassing the parents, they love them. But how many times have we embarrassed God? And how many times have we fallen short of the mark we could have obtained? And doesn't God still love us? And that same love that God has for us is what we're supposed to show everybody else. Agape love. Unconditional love. Marriages fail because people have a point system. Oh, let me just talk about this for a minute. It's so funny. God says if you want to be forgiven, forgive everybody. Amen? So we got Him, and we got her. Now, there's supposed to be a one flesh. Hey, look, just because your arm gets twitches, do you cut it off? Huh? Do you get what I'm saying? But actually, you see, we ain't even that grown up. We all act all spiritual in the church today, but we don't even understand a one flesh covenant. Right? My people do. I've explained it to them, but there are no real teachings on it that I've heard in the church. But there is a one flesh covenant, which means that you are one. So, if your foot steps into a ditch, do you get mad at it and lop it off? You gotta get this. This is good. This is good. Alright? But you see, Him and her, we keep scores. Cause we're married. Ah, he's late for dinner. Eh. Ah, he didn't show up on time. Eh. Ah, he didn't notice my hair color changed. Eh. Ah, he didn't notice this or that. He didn't notice my change. Eh. He didn't do this. Eh. Out of here. Don't laugh. You know it's true. I'm not telling you that it's quite that quick, but don't tell me that most couples don't keep score. Hey, you know, if you forgive, you're supposed to forget. How come is it you're still hearing about it 20 years later? I'm telling you, it is funny. Kinda. Alright. She burned my bacon, eh? She was late with my breakfast, eh? I got home from work, I was tired, and she didn't bring me my slippers, eh? Here she went, look, did you see how she went to the store, didn't even take the rollers out of her hair? She don't care about nothing no more, she's embarrassing me, eh? Come on now! I'm having fun with this one. Oh, yeah. And she didn't treat me like the man in the house. She dared to argue with me. Out of here. Oh, liars, shout me down. The Bible says we got to forgive. How come when we get married, we forgive the world, but we won't forgive our mate? Do you get it, though? And the biggest attack you're going to go through in your life is going to be in your marriage, because there is a dynamic that involves the one flesh covenant that if God can get you and split you up. Are you getting this? Then in fact, He is going to tear down your prayer life. He's going to tear down your direction in life. He's going to tear down your destiny in life. And it can be devastating to your whole life. So your biggest attack is going to be in your marriage. Amen? But what does it say here? It says, but if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. Hey, you know what? If your wife or your husband doesn't treat you like they love you anymore, then you need to pour more love out on them. Amen. Amen? You need to really find this in yourself, dig deep in yourself, and you got to pour out more on them than ever before. Because love breaks down all barriers. Amen? It breaks down all barriers. And it's just and true, as true in a marriage as it is in the way you're supposed to treat the rest of the world. Amen? What's your friends that aren't saved going to tell you? Get a new one. Man, you ain't going to get nothing new. They quit making new models in 1969. You know what I mean? There ain't nothing new out there. There ain't nothing new out there. How many people have ever felt that women are raised by the same mothers? And men are raised by the same mothers too. You know what I mean? There isn't no new models out there. There isn't no new types. There's no new perfect ones. There is none perfect. You're better off dealing with what you got. At least there's some known factors there. Amen? And if both of your heart is to seek God, then it works like this. And that's why you're not supposed to marry an unbeliever. You're not supposed to, because it's no stinking good for you. Amen? But if you're seeking God and she's seeking God, then what happens if you are both seeking and you draw closer to God, you will draw closer one to another. Amen? And that is the truth of a Christian marriage. And that is why you got to have all that forgiveness and everything going on. Because if you just take and you start keeping score, it ain't going to be no time at all before somebody says, "Up." I'm out of here. So every day is a new day, and every day is to be treated like a new day. And you're supposed to grow in love one for another every day. And you're supposed to grow in the love of Christ every day. And you're supposed to share the love of God with everybody every day. Because God loves you, and you're supposed to share that agape love with all people around you. It says, love your neighbor as yourself. What excludes your wife? Where does it say that? Or your husband? Do you get that? It's very important you get this. I said these are hard things, but good things, right? Now let me go on. So if it says, and if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. What's it saying? If somebody needs money and you got it, give it to them. Amen? And if they can't pay you back, too bad. Quiet in here. Why do I say that? Because God said it. Why does He say it? Because you're supposed to get the mind of Christ in your life. Do you understand? I'm talking about the first thing God wants to work on in all our lives is godly character. Amen? God wants you to work on the mind of Christ. God wants you to loose your worldly thoughts, and He wants to place inside of you Him. And the way that happens is the first thing He works on in your life is godly character and integrity. Integrity is a dying breed. It means that you're a person who performs what you speak. That you live by the standards of God. That when people look at you, they can see something different, and what they see is Christ in you. Amen? In most of the church today, there is not much character, although there's characters. Amen? And there's very little integrity. People won't even come by on a Saturday for cleanup. Even though they tell the pastor that they will come. Right? But if they know they're going to get a reward for coming in front of the congregation, then they'll show up. Because it's for personal gain, and worldly people are about personal gain, personal recognition, and true Christians are about the recognition of Jesus, that we are all trying to lift up the name of Jesus, that we are all trying to get God to be the one people see when they see us. Do you hear the difference? It's very important that we get there. Okay. In verse 35, it says, "But love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the unthankful and evil." Wasn't He kind to you? He let you live long enough to get saved. That's pretty neat. I'm sure thankful. I don't know, maybe the rest of you aren't, but I'm thankful that He is kind to the unkind. Because I wasn't very kind. And how come is it when we get saved, we want to shut the door behind us and let nobody in? We get self-righteous, and then we don't want to deal with anybody until they get cleaned up. Amen? In verse 32, how many people here need mercy? How many people need mercy? I need mercy every day of my life. So what does God say? He says, "Be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful." Have you ever heard that saying that for what measure you measure will be measured back to you? You need a lot of mercy like me? Give people a lot of mercy. Amen? Judge not, and you shall not be judged. When I was a young Christian, I would go up to people that were not saved, and I just got saved, and I'd tell them stupid things like, "You're going to hell." Well, boy, I was really taking a lot on my shoulders in them days. I was bold about all the wrong things. You know what I mean? And I made so many people mad, but I was judge and jury, or I was pronouncing myself judge and jury. And the truth is today I know that nobody knows who's going to heaven except for the Father. And He is the only judge, and He's the only one that can judge. And you are not to be judged. Amen? Now, I am now a fruit inspector. I gave my judge's job up. Right? It says, don't judge, so I'm not judging no more. But I am now a USDA fruit inspector. I see rotten fruit, I go, "You're rotten, you're out of here." But I don't tell them they're going to hell. I just tell them, "Your fruit's terrible. Forget it, you're out of here." Right? And I will tell them things like, "You know what? I question your walk in God. By the fruit you are showing me, I am not seeing the fruit of God in your life. And as a consequence, I say, I doubt your very salvation." But am I telling them they're going to hell? No! God's the only one that can do that. Do you understand? You're to be fruit inspectors, but you're not to pronounce yourselves judges. Do you get it? There is a big difference. And you must learn the difference. Right? So it says, "Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned." I don't want to be condemned. "Forgive, and you will be forgiven." Remember what I was telling you? About that forgiveness, and I was joking about the family's kind of? I'm telling you. If you can't forgive your mate, you can't be forgiven. Why? Because the Bible doesn't say who you're supposed to forgive or who you're not supposed to forgive. It just tells you, forgive. Who? Everybody. Whoever you have aught against. That must be somewhere in the family. It's got to be somewhere in the marriage. Oh, it's quiet again. You see, these are deep things, people. They are hard, but they are good. And that's why we've got to concentrate on these kind of things, right? It says, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. And this is where I'm going to end. You know, people, all my life, all I want to do the rest of my life is to pour out the love of God. All I want to do the rest of my life is to share Jesus with the hurting and dying world. All I want to do the rest of my life is teach people how to be more than overcomers, to overcome their bondages in their life and walk in the glory of God. That's all I want to do. I want to share it not just with Los Angeles, but with the world. I want to share it with everybody I meet, wherever I go, and I want to share the whole truth. I don't want to share part of the truth. Because God has blessed me in my life. You know, I feel like Paul said that where he was a chief of all sinners. I feel like that today. And God was merciful in my life and let me live long enough to get saved. And no matter what anybody else puts me through, God has already delivered me from anything that is way far worse than anything most people can imagine. And I know that God saved me to be merciful to others and to share the love of God with them. I don't want to judge anybody because I know by right I should go to hell. Right? And there's not anybody in this room that by right should not go to hell also. It's the blood of Jesus and the mercy of God in our lives that allows us to go to that wonderful place where we're going to go somewhere someday. How many people have ever heard Mike Perkey sing Beulah Land? Oh, I hate that. I cry like a baby, you know, and I just sit there. And I've never even been there, but something inside of me craves that place in my life. And you know what? Someday, we're all going to spend eternity in glory. Amen? And you know what? I want to bring as many people with me as I can. I can't hate people bad enough to want to see them go to the pit of hell. And I'm going to tell you here today that by our actions, people either see Jesus or they do not in our life. Amen? And you know what, people? What this is really saying right here to me, Dominic, it's saying is, you know what? You may be the only Jesus people ever see. How much Jesus do people see in you? You know? And so what if I get slapped and I sit on a guy instead of hitting him? You understand? And so what if I have to turn the other cheek? And so what if I got to forgive what I think is unforgivable? You know what? So what if somebody stole my shoes? And so what if somebody drove around in my truck? And so what if somebody stole all my clothes, including my underwear? I pray that by me not lashing back at them, that they saw Jesus enough that someday they might come to know the living God. You hear me? The whole world is beating each other up. Matter of fact, 50% of the church is beating itself up. It's got to stop. And people in this world have got to see Jesus in those that are true believers. I challenge you to let Jesus shine in your life in such a way that everybody sees Him in you. I challenge you not to get stuck on things and stuff and pride issues, but let God use you for the glory of His Son Jesus and for the saving of mankind of this world, and let Him use you fully, even though you may suffer some small amount of abuse. Are you hearing me? And when you go out, do not go out in judgment. Go out in love. And don't walk around with a chip on your shoulder. Walk around with Jesus in your heart. And if you will do those things, people will not be able to withstand the love of God that comes through you. And as a consequence, they will indeed, more than likely, find Christ. And let it be that they find Christ because of you, instead of staying away from God because of what you do. Are you hearing me here today? You know what, people? The world is a lost and dying place. And you know what? The rest of my life, it terrifies me. And I mean that, and I'm trying to find the right word. It just disgusts me with the thought of people today that know God that won't even go share with others. The world, have you been out there? Have you been out there into Skid Row? Have you been out there to the Hollywood back streets? Have you been out there to the downtown of America? It is a third world country. Our children are killing each other in school. Our president can't keep his stinking pants on. The things that people are looking at is overpriced beef that are sports figures. They can't even tell you the name of the men and women of God that have lived and died for the cause. The world is going to hell in a handbasket, and we've got to do something about it. Please consider God's character and integrity for your life so that people can see Jesus in you and desire to find God in their life. These things are hard, but they are good for all. Amen? You must learn to forgive. You must learn about the mind of Christ. You must be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And when you are, you're going to be a soul winner. And souls are what make God dance in heaven today. Make your Lord happy and do the things that He might ask. Amen. Father, I just thank You today for Your word, God. It is precious to me. And God, let it be that even though these are hard things, that we receive and accept them, Lord. That we know that in our life, that these things are integral and important, not only to our growth and getting closer towards You, God, but so that other people might see the truth of You in our life. God, we thank You for saving us. And Lord, I ask that You help us to lead many down the path to You, God. Show us what we're to do, that we might do it. In Jesus' name I pray, and everyone said,
Amen.
Amen.